Ramsey TV.
I can't find my gas lighter, so this is going to be ugly. It might not even happen because there's a little bit of a breeze out here. I think I got it. Yeah, pretty good. Martin Zender from the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula. Here it's overcast evening, a little drizzly in Fort Lauderdale. I alluded to something earlier this week or last week that I want to pick up on. I think it's a great story. How I was almost lured into the Christian religion. Yes, I, Martin Zender, felt the pull of the big scene, the excitement, the activity, the excitement. It's a rush to be wanted by a large organization that actually has visible power. Yes, I felt the pull. I'm going to explain that to you right now. It was 1984. My wife, Marcia, and I were finishing up a bicycle trip across the United States. We were bicycling from Los Angeles. We didn't know where we were going to finish. We started in L.A. on June 10th, 1984, and we pedaled east. It took us 105 days. I believe that's 3.5 months. And we didn't know where we were going to finish until the end of the trip. We started to look at the map. We were going through Washington, D.C., and we figured we'd end in Ocean City, Maryland. So I had a friend who I worked with at Friendly Restaurant in Canton in 1979. Her name was Beth Anderson. Her name probably still is Beth Anderson, unless she got married, which I think she did. Anyway, she had a sister, and her sister lived in Silver Spring, Maryland. And she said, I'll set you and Marcia up for an overnight. You guys can stay with my sister and my brother-in-law. Ho, ho, the brother-in-law. This guy's name was Jack Stockdale. I can't remember the sister's first name, but her last name was Stockdale. I had never met either of them before, but I didn't care. I was excited by the prospect of a bed and a shower after 105 days on the road. Marcia was a hell of a trooper. She wasn't athletic, but she just had a willpower. Somebody told her once, I think it was on the trip, said, boy, you really have to love this to bicycle across the country. And she said, and I quote, no, you don't have to love it, you just have to do it. I think Nike might have gotten their Just Do It campaign from her. That was her attitude, and she was great. We used to memorize Bible verses. I remember bicycling through New Mexico on Interstate 40. And we would read the Bible in the morning, and we would memorize Bible verses and quiz each other on the road. We were on some really back roads. Oh, we were on Old Route 66 near Amarillo, Texas. I-40 goes through Amarillo. You're allowed to ride on the interstates on a bicycle if there are no alternate routes. But around Amarillo, there was old Route 66 that went from Chicago to Santa Monica, California. We had started in Santa Monica, in fact, on the Santa Monica Pier. And so we would ride side by side in the summer of 1984. What a great time. And we would memorize Bible verses, and we would say them to each other. It was great. But we got to Washington, D.C. And yeah, I remember we bicycled into D.C. And Jack Stockdale and his wife, I can't remember her name, they were part of a church in Silver Spring, Maryland. Now, Silver Spring is a suburb of D.C. I didn't know this at the time. I didn't know what I was getting into. But when we got there, we found out that they were a part of this growing, up-and-coming, exciting new church. And this church was politically active. And Jack Stockdale was a big kid, really. He was just a kid. He was kind of goofy. He was all excited about bringing in the kingdom, you know, to the earth by human means, of course, claiming the name of Jesus. And he was going to do this through, of course, a social gospel. That is, and this is popular in Christianity now, they want to change the world. And they think that by changing the world politically, they can hurry the kingdom. Not realizing, do these people ever read the book of Revelation? Not realizing that the earth is going to be changed by a sudden cataclysm, not by Jack Stockdale and Mrs. Stockdale marching around with signs. And this is exactly what we did one evening. I think we stayed there for 2 days. And they said, hey, would you like to join us? We're going into D.C. today. Ronald Reagan, it was during the 84 campaign. Reagan against Mondale. And Mondale's running mate was Geraldine Ferraro. And I was interested in politics, so they kind of hooked me with this. And they were meeting at the Italian American Club. There was a big dinner, probably, you know, $25,000 a plate at the... We weren't invited. The Italian American Club. And Reagan was going to be there, and Ferraro. And Geraldine Ferraro was, again, Mondale's running mate. She was a huge fan of abortion. She loved killing babies. She loved the policies that pushed the killing of babies. Of course, I hated abortion. So the plan of this up-and-coming church was to protest this dinner because the evil Geraldine Ferraro was there. And so we went along. Marcia and I went along. Now, I don't know if you realize this. I'm a private person, and I'm shy, it's true, and I'm an introvert. So I went to this thing, and I was immediately uncomfortable because they instructed us, they gave us signs with, like, fetuses, dead fetuses, and skeletons of babies, and we were to march around, and the news cameras were on. Of course, Jack Stockdale loved the news cameras. And so we were to march around saying, Mondale no, Ferraro no, Mondale no, Ferraro no. So juvenile. So they stuck a sign in my hand. And you're not going to believe this, but I, Martin Zender, marched around with an anti-abortion sign, but I didn't chant. And I only made one lap around. I was embarrassed. I was hiding behind my stupid sign. I did one lap. I couldn't take it anymore. I felt absolutely foolish, ridiculous, out of place. I knew that somehow marching with a sign was not my calling, so I let the other people do it. I'll never forget, somebody came by and they were upset with the Christian contingent, and they flipped us the bird. They flipped us the bird. It was a normal person who hated religion, and they flipped us the bird. And I remember one of the congregants, one of the activists, said, God bless you, which was actually a nice response to the bird. Very nice response. I got to hand it to them for that. At that point, all I wanted to do was see Reagan. That's all I wanted to do. I wanted to see Ronald Reagan. And I was only in it for that at that point. When I didn't realize till I went that this was not my gig, not my scene. I was interested in it because it sounded exciting. But again, when I got there, I realized how petty and juvenile and stupid it was, and then I just wanted to see Reagan at that point. So I never did see Reagan. I think I saw Mondale and the dreaded evil devil Geraldine Ferraro. They pulled in a long black limousine, and we left before I got to see Reagan, which was a pity. Anyway, Jack Stockdale could not wait to get home and watch the news. That was his whole thing. We're going to be on the news. We're going to be on the news. And they went, and there we were marching around. Thank God I wasn't on the news. But what I didn't realize was that this was the beginning of a recruiting campaign. Stockdale was recruiting Marcia and me. And we were a good target for a recruiting because there we were on the road, no home. We didn't have a home. I mean, we just didn't do this as a summer gig, bicycle across the United States. This was our life for 105 days and wasn't sure what we were going to do when we got home. So Stockdale knew See, he's trained like these people who have recruited my son Paul. Here's the thing. I was in the position my son Paul was in a year ago when these people, to put it nicely, from the Baptist church recruited him because they saw in him, as I said before, a well-spoken, an articulate, good-looking young man, tall and handsome. And they snagged him because God did not protect him. God wants him to be in this for whatever reason. But God protected me. I'm going to tell you how. Because these people were getting to me. Because it was a big organization. And of course, Stockdale was just like buttering me up. Flattery, I tell you, flattery gets people a lot of places. You would be great in this. He knew I wanted to do something with God. I felt the pull starting in 84, really. I guess it was 84. I really started to feel the pull. It would be another 9 years before I started this work in 1993. But at that time, they were pulling me. They wanted us to live there. They really made a big pitch for us to move there, to become a part of this organization, and to put our youth and energy into changing the world for Christ by means of political strength. How the hell else would they do it? They wanted to change policy. This whole thing, the James Dobson thing, you know. If my people repent of their sins, I will heal their land. And it's all this Jesus and America doctrine. But I was not into that as much as I was into the idea of being in the political realm and doing something for God. I was getting pulled in. I remember we were sleeping in the basement. They put us in the basement. And I was seriously talking to Marcia. I said, I think we should do this. What do we have to go back to in Ohio? We didn't have many kids, obviously, at the time. I said, I really think we should do it. And thank God that my wife was the one that was more, let's say, quiet than I was, less inclined to be showy, more private. I am a bit of a contradiction. I just said I was an introvert, and yet there was something exciting about being in a big city. I've always liked cities. I've always liked travel hubs. I've loved airports. I love bus stations. I love where people are moving. People are going somewhere. I like the excitement of the big city. I lived in Sao Paulo. Absolutely loved it. I raised my family in a little town called Greenwich, Ohio. We're going to get to that in a second. That was a sacrifice. Well, it was a great place to raise my kids, but I was out of my element. It was farmland. We lived across the street from a dairy farm, as you might have heard me say before. So there we were, and I said, let's go for it. And I forget what my wife said, but we had a bit of an argument over it. And there was a couple days, the 2 days we were there, it was touch and go. But I was ready to, okay, let's finish our trip. Let's get across Maryland, across Delaware. We'll dip our front wheels in the Atlantic Ocean at Ocean City, Maryland, which will complete the trip because we dipped our back wheels in the Pacific Ocean at Santa Monica. So, you know, got to have that sense of completion. I said, well, let's do that, and we'll just take a bus back here. We'll settle in here. They offered to let us stay at their house for a while till we could find an apartment. He was going to get me involved in the work in the ministry. We finished the trip. September 10th, 1984, Ocean City, Maryland. I wish I had the photographs of there. It was a great photograph of Marcia and me. We gave the camera to some stranger, and they took a picture of us walking our bikes into the ocean. I wish I had it. I would put it up here, but I think it's back in Canton. Well, Marcia had taken me from, yes, let's do this, to on the fence. I was still thinking about it, but I was on the fence. So it was time for us to fly home, and we told Jack Stockdale. Oh, I got to tell you this. Jack Stockdale, I found out that he actually went to my high school, but he was there earlier. He was older than me, and I'll never forget him saying this. He said, I used to shout at football games. I used to say, beat Aquinas, beat Aquinas. And he says, if I was shouting so much for a worldly thing like a football game, why wouldn't I shout for Christ? And this guy yelled. I didn't tell you that. But at this rally, he yelled at the top of his lungs, Mondale no Ferraro. No, he was a lunatic. He was a juvenile. He was a child. He would just yell and yell and yell. He couldn't wait to go home and see the news, this guy. So anyway, they said, well, we're going to come see you. When you guys go back home, you think about it. You go back home, and we're going to come visit you. Well, we went back home, and my wife's aunt and uncle had gone to a nursing home. They lived in a farmhouse at a rural corner. And when I say rural, I mean rural. And so Marcia's grandmother said, how would you two like to live in this house rent-free for a year until you figure out what you want to do, and then maybe you'll get the option to buy the place. We said, okay. So we settled in. I remember watching the election returns in 1984 in a black and white television downstairs at that farmhouse. Watched Reagan win 49 states. That's a landslide. Mondale won his home state of Minnesota. Barely. And that was it. Unbelievable. Great. I loved it. And so, sure enough, though, 2 weeks later, here comes Baby Stockdale and his wife. Because they were hell-bent on recruiting us. I don't know what it was about us that they liked, but they wanted us. And Baby Stockdale's wife said something that I will never forget. And I think it was actually instrumental in letting me see what this thing was all about and really pushing me into doing this work that I'm doing now. And there was this woman. After talking to us, and Marcia and I were talking about the scriptures, and we were talking about quiet things, quiet spiritual things. They were talking about raucous spiritual things. They were talking about a battle. Marcia and I were talking about our relationship with God. So I think we exasperated them a bit. And then Baby Stockdale's wife, the sister of my friend, she walked over to the window. I believe it was the south window. She looked out across the road into a field. And I was standing near her, and she said this loud enough for me to hear. And I thank God for it today. She said, quote, I remember every single word of it. She said, I can see why people would be interested in living out here if they weren't interested in serving the Lord. Yep, that's what that evil woman said. But it was a helpful woman. You know, there was a comment on the video I made with Maria de Lima, just made me think of this. I'll link to it if you haven't seen it. It's a fun video. Maria is from Lima, and she's Latin. She loves to dance, and she moves her body. All it takes for her to dance is the wind to blow, and she'll start moving her hips, and she's a gorgeous woman, very beautiful. And so part of that video has her dancing. And somebody made an evil comment on that video. I just saw it today, even though the video was published a month ago. I just was looking at the comments recently, and this guy said, Maria has a Jezebel spirit. A Jezebel spirit. Excuse me? A Latin woman who likes to dance and who looks good and moves her hips has a Jezebel spirit? No, sir. I will tell you who has a Jezebel spirit. Baby Stockdale's wife was Jezebel because she was a seductress. Baby Stockdale's wife was Jezebel because she was trying to seduce us into the evil institution. Ronald Reagan called the Soviet Union the evil institution, but the Soviet Union is nothing compared to Christianity. And of course, Baby Stockdale and his wife, they believe down the line every Christian teaching you can imagine. Hell, eternal torment, free will, Marcia and I, at that time, we believed in the salvation of all, and we might have suggested that to them, and they rolled their eyes, and oh man, these people will never make it. And so this Jezebel, I mean, comparing baby Stockdale's wife to Maria? Are you kidding me? Maria is a happy, beautiful, fun, loving, effervescent, life-adoring woman. Baby Stockdale's wife, Mrs. Baby Stockdale, was a Jezebel trying to lure unsuspecting people into the most evil institution there's ever been, the Christian religion, with its eternal torment and its free will and its self-salvation, which is human free will. And they left disappointed. They came there to recruit us. They failed. By the grace of God, they failed. I saw through it then. My wife was a little ahead of me in seeing through it. She saw through it back in Silver Spring. I didn't see through it until Baby Stockdale's wife looked out the window and said, I can see why people would want to live out here if they weren't interested in serving the Lord. And after they left, I looked at Marcia and I thought of Moses. I thought of Moses in the wilderness for 40 years tending sheep. And there we had a dairy farm across the road. And it was a similar situation. And Marcia and I, we were in this country place, and for 9 years we would be in hiding. We would be as Moses in the wilderness, as God was preparing me for this work, because it was 2 years later in 1986 where I tapped into the vast wealth of literature from the Concordant Publishing concern. And there we were in the wilderness preparing to take on the powers of Egypt. But we would do it not by marching in a circle, chanting and screaming. We would do it by the power of the Spirit. We would do it by the power of truth, by the power of information, by the power of right teaching concerning God. That's how you overcome the world. You overcome the world by love, by promoting the love of God. And the love of God can never be better promoted than in heralding His Son as the successful Savior of the world. I don't know what Baby Stockdale's doing now. I have no ill feelings toward them. I'm sorry I called his wife Jezebel. But at that time she may have repented by now. She may have hopefully gotten out of the Christian religion and maybe is seeking out God. Maybe by some great act of God and some confluence of circumstances, our paths will cross again. My path. Maybe one day my path will cross again with the Stockdales. And maybe they will see the value of the wilderness, the value of truth, the value of knowledge, over marching around in circles, screaming, trying to change the world by political, fleshly means, disguised as an act of God, cloaked with the name of Christ. But I tell you this, religion is the best cloak that evil ever had.